Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action, episode 57. This is Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow the podcast at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So we kind of had a rough weekend action, especially in the circuit contest. More on that later. But did you have a fun rest of your weekend?
Yeah, it was a great time. Kind of relaxing. I've been traveling so much, and I just decided to chill out a little bit. Did a couple of things here around Royal Oak. There was a little street festival that we went out to.
Okay.
Went out and had some drinks with friends on Saturday night and just stepped away a little bit. But turned out pretty well in the books for me. I had a great day on Sunday. Well, it started out by cashing the Joe Burrow ticket Saturday night. So
It
just kind of kicked off a pretty positive weekend for me all around. So how about yourself?
Well, betting wasn't great. Definitely lost this week, but definitely had a fun weekend. I went out pretty late on Friday night with a friend to the Violet Hour, which is a kind of a high-end cocktail bar here.
Yeah, nice.
In Chicago, really nice spot. Hadn't been there before. Well, speakeasy feel and very classy place. And then Saturday night, as you may recall or maybe saw on social media, that we went to the Yippee-Ki-Yay Die Hard pop-up bar, you know, declaring that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, which I will declare openly on the podcast. And it was our end of year flag football party. And I dressed up like one of the characters, complete with some face paint, which was actually cookie frosting. And then we went to karaoke. So it was a very fun night. Pretty late again. So a little tired on Sunday, a little sluggish. And I actually went out last night too, because a friend of mine was in from out of town. So I'm a little tired like you, buddy. I need maybe a day or two, but I've got a happy hour on Thursday, so I got to rally it up again for another – all these karaoke parties, man.
Yeah, well, it's that time of year. There's no rest available. You got to get up and get going again. There's more parties to be had.
That's right. Absolutely. So hopefully we'll bounce back in the contest and then in bets and everything. So let's jump into the episode. I'll go brief overview. We've got we'll talk about college football, just some of the early bowl games that we're looking at as they kick off this week. The first game starting on Friday, I guess, from my screen here. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go over the NCAA hoops and action power ratings in that, as well as some key matchups that we are kind of just identifying as kind of big matchups going on. We'll jump into the NFL recap of week 15, couple of injuries, the WEGS index, and then we'll jump into the circa contest again, hopefully bounce back, and then and that'll wrap up the episode. So let's get after it, huh?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, so we're looking at college football. We talked about last week that the bowl games, you really have to identify who's playing, which teams are healthy, which teams are holding guys out, which coaches are still with us. So when you've put these spots together this week, Action, maybe you can go through why you identify them. The first one we may take off of there, but Utah State versus Kent State is the one that you've identified. Utah State's a 4.5-point favorite in this bowl game.
I'll start off by saying, generally speaking, I, as we talked about last week, have decided to wait on a lot of these games. I think that the numbers move so quickly right at that opening weekend, that opening Sunday, that if you didn't jump on a game right away, there wasn't really any value in betting them leading up to the games. So just a couple of spots that I'm looking at this weekend. And the first one in particular, I'm glad I waited on, because I was looking at Utah State, opened about a 8-point favorite against Kent State. And I heard this afternoon that the quarterback and NFL prospect Jordan Love sounds like he may be suspended for the game for violation of team rules. So they've listed him as questionable, but I certainly have no interest in betting this game if Jordan Love is not playing. He was really the main reason why I was looking at Utah State. as well as the fact that I'm just interested in fading the MAC conference as much as possible throughout bowl season. Historically, they perform really poorly in the bowl games, and I'm going to look to take advantage of that.
Okay. And just for names, this is the Frisco Bowl. Nice bowl.
Ah, yes. Thank you. Where is this one located?
Good question. I don't know. Let's take a look here. The Frisco Bowl is located in Frisco, Texas at Toyota Stadium.
Naturally.
Yeah, of course. I'm not sure what Frisco refers to besides the town. But hey, it doesn't have a big sponsor like some of the other ones, I guess. So.
Well, I can't imagine the Kent State Golden Flashes are too pumped about going to Frisco for a bowl game, but you never know.
You never know. The next game you've outlined, maybe along this handicap you just mentioned, is San Diego State is playing Central Michigan, a MAC team. San Diego State is a 3.5-point favorite in the New Mexico Bowl. So why do you like San Diego State in this one?
Yeah, it was really initially just a lean towards fading Central Michigan. They certainly came on late in the season and were actually upset in the championship game against Miami, if you recall, and we talked about that. They had a quarterback who was injured, and Miami ended up still winning the MAC over Central Michigan. And this is really just more of a bet on the San Diego State Aztecs defense.
Yep.
This is actually lined pretty close to what SP Plus has the game. It's a 3.5-point spread favoring San Diego State, and Bill Connolly has it at 4.2. But I think that's largely due to such a low total, and it's projected at 44 points, and really it's because of San Diego State's defense. They only allow 14 points per game on the defensive side of the ball, and I think this is probably the best of the four units in the game, so I'm interested in betting on them and against this MAC opponent.
Gotcha, gotcha. I don't have any thoughts on that one, unfortunately. my analysis only goes through the top 50 in SP+, so I will trust you on this one.
All right.
The next one is Louisiana Tech. They're playing Miami of Florida in the Independence Bowl, which is in Shreveport, Louisiana. La Tech is a 6-point dog in this game, although it's, I guess, sort of in their backyard. You don't like the Canes here. I was fading Canes most of the season until I wasn't, when they started winning me money. So why are you on the – where are the La Tech? What are those guys? Do you already know their
– Oh, some Raiders something? Not okay. Red Raiders. That's a great question. I don't know.
Blue Raiders maybe? Who knows? Okay.
You might be right.
So you like La Tech because of the pseudo home field advantage?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. I mean, I got to start off by saying there's been a pretty serious line move in this game. It opened at 10.5, actually, and has been bet all the way down to 6. So it's clearly a ton of money that's backing the Louisiana Tech team here. And yeah, that's the first point I noted, is this game is in Louisiana, and I cannot imagine there's going to be too many Miami fans that are traveling there the day after Christmas to see their team play. So I do think that it's going to be a pro-Tech crowd. And I also am just fading a little bit of the motivation for the Miami team. They're 0-2 in the last two games against the spread. They got beat pretty handily by Duke as 9.5-point favorites. And the week before that, they lost by 6 to FIU as a 21-point favorite. I'm looking to back Louisiana Tech here, and their coach Skip Holtz is actually 7-3 historically in bowl games. So backing a coach that likes to get his team up and prep for these bowl games is always a good bet.
And Skip is lose fun?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Nice. Yeah, Miami's a weird team. You know, they've been buoyed in the SP Plus all year. They've always been really in the top 20, 25 of SP Plus, but haven't played very well, save playing Florida State or some other teams kind of in the middle of the season. But that's the weak ACC. So I can see this spot for you. Wish you would have got it at 10, but I guess 6 is enough. So we'll see how that works out. And we'll kind of go over some more bowl games at another time. That's obviously covering through the Christmas holiday, more or less, the 26th.
Yeah, not really a ton of interesting ones, to be honest. The only one on Saturday that I would have any interest in watching is Boise State and Washington in the Las Vegas Bowl, I believe.
Yeah, Las Vegas Bowl, right. That's right. Yeah, I mean, that might be an interesting one. I mean, Boise's a pretty quality squad. They've always been that way. And then, you know, Washington's had this kind of fall from grace this year. And then I'm assuming Chris Peterson's not coaching since he stepped aside. So, yeah, we'll see.
I think he is coaching, actually. Oh, is he? This is kind of like his hurrah moment right off into the sunset. So a lot of folks in the media have been using that as kind of the narrative game here. But on the flip side, I think Boise is 4-0 playing in the Las Vegas Bowl in their young history. So certainly going to be an interesting one. Boise State is a 3.5-point underdog in that one.
They are. That's great. Plus 145 on the money line if you're so inclined. Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll go over some more games another time and get into it a little bit more. I'm not as excited about these early bowl games.
Certainly.
It's like the Frisco Bowl. Yes. You know, whatever. One step at a time. So
that's right.
All right. Well, let's go into the hoops, though. College hoops action. I know has been cleaning up in college hoops, and he's got his action ratings. I've got Ken Palm up here just to kind of compare. So you want to go over the action power ratings for this week?
Yeah. Probably not that much different from Ken Palm, although I'm pulling it up here now, and I do have Duke number one, slightly rated ahead of Ohio State, which took a tough loss on the road at Minnesota.
They did
this past weekend. Still playing really well. I think they've got a cupcake on the schedule tonight, so they should bounce back. Third, I do have Kansas, who by my money is probably playing the best out of any team in the country right now. I've seen them play a few times, and they are just running through opponents. The fourth team is Michigan State. Louisville is 5. You've got Gonzaga at 6, which matches KenPom, followed by Maryland at 7. Kentucky, Baylor, and Arizona round out the top 10.
Right. I mean, all good teams. Ken Palm's got Arizona at 15 and Baylor at 13. The two teams not showing up for you are Virginia and Purdue. So there's no homerism here for action. So, like we said before, the rebound differential or rebounding is key in the action power ratings. No real surprises to me. Obviously, I haven't watched a ton of college hoops yet. I've seen a few games. I did see that, you said, Ohio State got beat for the most part. You know, Kentucky's gotten beaten early this year, but that's the thing about college basketball. You know, people test themselves early, and it's okay if they lose. I mean, Duke got beat. They're at the top of the ratings there. So.
Yeah, seemingly every week, whoever gets crowned number one goes on to lose. So. I think it may be Kansas this week, and they do have a tough game coming up this weekend. Another point I wanted to make is the early season conference games have been very, very tight, especially in the Big Ten. I read yesterday that the home teams in the Big Ten games have been 13-0 this season, unblemished for home teams.
Wow, that's incredible. It's indicative of a couple things. I mean, well, one, there's no dominant team this year, right? Both in the Big Ten and then in general. Even though you say Kansas is running through teams, they do have a loss. And then the other thing is that these conferences like the Big Ten, and I know the Big 12 traditionally is like this, it's tough to win on the road. These college kids, you know, it's very difficult. They get rattled. The fans go nuts. And it's, that makes, to me, college basketball better than the pro game because it's so exciting for the, you know, the kids are going crazy and rushing the court and everything. So it's definitely a different handicap than college football. You don't have the dominant teams like you do in college football.
Yeah, I also believe that going on the road narrative is even bigger early in the season because you have so many of these top teams that are staying at home for like 8-9 games to begin the season.
True.
And when they have that first game on the road especially, it's kind of like a shock to the system, and it really throws them off considering they've been used to playing in front of their home crowd for so long.
That's right. That makes sense. That's it's hard, you know, they kind of get a little bit spoiled. They kind of put some easier teams. And then even when they're going on the road, like it's a neutral court, right? They go to a, you know, battle for Atlantis or Vegas or wherever. So when they're actually on the road playing against a hostile crowd, it's a lot different.
Yep.
Well, let's look at some of these matchups. The first one I kind of want to discuss generally, too, about North Carolina. But North Carolina is playing at the Zags, which is kind of cool. I don't know if that's ever happened before that Carolina's gone all the way to Spokane. The Zags are, I guess, a 10-point favorite at home. I know Cole Anthony's injured, at least I think he's injured for North Carolina, but they have really not played well in this early season despite their ratings and even before Anthony was injured. So what do you think's happening with those heels?
Well, you can start off by looking at their field goal percentage. They're shooting 44% effective field goal percentage, which is 308th in Division One. So the normally effective North Carolina offense is not so hot this season. And I think when you look at their other metrics too, they're equally bad at shooting the three-pointer. And their free throw percentage is 63% right now. So although it's a team that gets to the line rather frequently, they're not making many of them. So that certainly doesn't help them win many basketball games.
True. I mean, I've got them, 36th in KenPom, or 6-4. And so, you know, one of these teams that perennially is considered at least in the mix, you know, they could struggle if they continue to struggle, especially Anthony's out for 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, hey, at-large bids. I mean, they could be, you know, they'd have to go on name only, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, without Cole Anthony, they are taking a huge step back in my power ratings. In fact, when I saw that line open up this afternoon, Gonzaga minus 10, I jumped all over it because I don't see any way that North Carolina is going to be able to stay with Gonzaga tomorrow night. And that'll end up being their fourth loss in a row. And just looking at their schedule coming up, they've got UCLA over the weekend, followed by Yale and Georgia Tech and Pittsburgh. I mean, they could be looking at like a 6-game losing streak here very soon.
Wow, that's bad. We'll see what happens. I mean, this is, you know, Williams is a good recruiter, not a great in-game coach. So strategy-wise, we'll see if he can turn it around. Another game that I kind of identified, you know, NC State's not a high riser, but they're a big ACC team. They're going to Auburn. Again, it's kind of a nice matchup, and that's Thursday. Auburn's been pretty good in the, you know, season, obviously 9-0. So they're getting it done. NC State, you know, they're pretty good. You know, they're 8-2. They're 35th in KenPom. Any thoughts on that game at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting game to watch. Certainly kind of a weaker slate on Thursday night. So I'll be tuning into this one with no NFL football on. But I do think that it's going to be closer than the odds makers might suggest. I have Auburn only rated about 5 points better on a neutral court. And I think KenPom had this game listed quite a bit higher than that. So I'll be interested to see how they fare. I definitely have Auburn rated a little bit lower than KenPom does.
Interesting. Okay. Another game I think that you've identified for Thursday is Maryland is playing Seton Hall. That is at Seton Hall, right? That's not a neutral court game?
You know, it says Newark, and for some reason, I don't think that's their home court, but I'm not exactly sure whether they're in Newark or elsewhere.
Yeah, it's probably, you know, it's kind of like they probably have a on-campus gym, and then this is kind of a bigger show gym. So
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's technically a home game, but it's not on campus. So, but yeah, I mean, Miles Powell, he said he's questionable. Maryland's playing pretty well. You know, so it's interesting. I mean, Seton Hall, we kind of noted last week that, you know, Rutgers is playing better. And they beat Seton Hall last week, didn't they?
Yes, they did, by 20 points. And yeah. I think you're right on there. It really comes down to Miles Powell. And I believe I read it was a concussion. So I don't think he's going to be suiting up this weekend. And he also didn't play very well in the Iowa State game, the game before that, where they lost by 10. So definitely a vastly different team without Miles Powell on the court.
Absolutely. So it looks like there's some other matchups on Saturday. So Saturday has a full slate of both bowl games, and then, of course, the NFL has three games. But there's some really good college basketball games that day. Kansas is playing at Villanova. And that one, again, it's not their on-campus gym. They're playing at the bigger arena in Philadelphia. And so this is a battle of titans. I mean, these are some really good basketball teams. Villanova's 8-2. Kansas is 9-1. You know what Nova's done in the past by winning titles. So you excited about this game?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I do think that Villanova is probably a little bit overrated this year. It's another team that I have a little bit lower than the odds makers might suggest. I think KenPom had this game rated about 1 point for Kansas. And I'm looking at, in my numbers here, I have Kansas rated about 6 points better.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like that Villanova doesn't play much defense. They're 86th in the adjusted rating. They score. They're second in their offense. But, You know, obviously Kansas is a more balanced team. They got the big man in the middle, so it'll be an interesting contrast of styles. Mm-hmm. The other one is in your old backyard. Your Boilers are playing at Purdue in Indianapolis. So it's not a Hinkle, but it's a bigger, you know, arena in Indianapolis, matching up these two Indiana teams on Saturday. Both these teams, actually, I have them in KenPom back-to-back, 10-11. Butler's gotten off to a really hot start. They're 10-1. They did get beat, but they've really put together a tough schedule non-conference, including this one. And I like that a lot. And Purdue is, they've stumbled a little bit, but they're a good squad. So do you think your Boilers can do it against the Bulldogs?
Probably not. I'm actually going to this game this weekend. Pretty pumped about it.
This guy, he's everywhere.
The doubleheader, Crossroads Classic. It's kind of a family tradition within the Roberts household. So we'll be there with quite a few of the family members. And this one is definitely the top billing of the two games. You've got Butler has been playing extremely well this season. And I think that they probably have the best player on the court in Kamar Baldwin. And if I'm betting on this game, which I likely will be, it's going to be on Butler. You also have Matt Harms picked up a concussion over the weekend at Nebraska. So he's questionable, likely not playing tonight at Ohio. And I would be surprised if he's back on Saturday either.
The other game in the Crossroads Classic is what, Indiana Notre Dame?
Yep.
Okay. Gotcha. Nice. Good for you, man. Those Roberts, man, they love their basketball games. I like that.
Yeah, that's right.
The last one on Saturday is played in Vegas, though. It's Ohio State against Kentucky. So another marquee matchup that's out in Vegas. I don't know. They just, maybe it's a one-off. I don't think it's a tournament. And, you know, the Buckeyes are playing great. However, they did stumble, of course, at Minnesota and Kentucky. You know, they had their woes early, but they've seemed to bounce back. They're 8-1 after that one kind of weird loss against Evansville. So who do you like in that game?
I like Ohio State in this matchup. Yeah. I think that it was just an aberration, that game at Minnesota, and I do think that their rebounding is going to be a pretty significant advantage in this game on that side of the ball, as well as their defense. So I'll be looking to bet Ohio State. Most likely.
All right. You heard it here, folks. He's trying to give you picks. I can give you nothing at this time. I have done very little analysis in college basketball as of yet, but that will turn the page now that fantasy football is over.
That's right. Plenty of time for it.
Exactly. So that'll be exciting. Well, let's transition to the NFL. Week 15 was crazy. Well, we say it was crazy, but in reality, a lot of the favorites came in. And let's first go over some injuries that may factor in. Hopefully they don't. But Tampa sustained another injury at receiver with Chris Godwin, who has a hamstring injury. Despite losing Mike Evans last week, you know, Godwin lit it up and then Rashad Perryman. So, you know, Jameis just lit it up no matter who he's thrown to right now. As bad as his interceptions that we talked about, he is just crushing it right now. And just behind, we were misspoke last week. I listened to the pod again. I think he's got like 29 touchdowns now. He hasn't cracked 30 yet.
Okay.
But he had a huge week last week. And I think he's more like 24 to 25 interceptions. I should pull that up. But, you know, he's not, he is throwing a ton of interceptions for sure.
And it is Lamar Jackson leading the league with touchdowns. Is that right?
He is. So I kind of posed a question to Mitch Moss on Twitter, never got the response, that I don't believe anybody in the NFL has led the league in yards, passing touchdowns, and interceptions in the same season. And Jameis is, he's leading in two of those categories and pretty close to Lamar. So he could do that. That would be kind of a crazy stat. Another injury was Dalvin Cook. He injured his shoulder pretty badly in that blasting of the Chargers. So I don't know if he's going to play. He didn't look like he could play this week, but we'll see what happens. That's a big matchup against Green Bay.
Yeah, it is a Monday nighter, so an extra day potentially for him to heal up for that one.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one I just had to put on here, action, Josh Gordon. This guy, come on, man. I mean, PED suspension now, suspended indefinitely, marks his sixth suspension now with the NFL. Some guys get tons of chances.
Yeah. You got to say this is probably going to be the end for him, but you never know. Seventh time could be a charm.
Sure, exactly. So the WEGS index, just going over the top teams, there's kind of a tight group at the top and then everybody else. And at this point, the Ravens, you know, are way up there. They're 3.3. They've overtaken the universe, mainly on the backs of, you know, obviously their offense keeps lighting it up like they did Thursday night, 42 points. But their defense is really picking up too. And I think your astute comment last week of Marcus Peters' addition has really helped them. Mm. Then the 49ers at 4.5, Patriots at 5.2, Vikings at 7.2, Cowboys, hey, they finally played well, at 7.8. And then the Saints kind of made a leap after that destruction of your Colts. Sorry, action.
Yeah, saw that one coming.
8.2, and the Chiefs at 8.3. So to me, I think this is the group of teams that can win the Super Bowl. I think really the top two are probably the ones, but we could talk a little bit about that later. But yeah, I mean, it's the cream's rising to the top, so to speak.
Yeah, the team I wanted to talk about on this list was the Dallas Cowboys.
Of course.
Pretty incredible performance after it seemed like the entire world was betting on the LA Rams this past weekend.
Yes.
And they continue to lead the league in yards per play, now up 6.5 yards per play.
Yep.
It's wild that they have such a poor record.
I know, it's weird. We've talked about this on the podcast many times that, you know, offensively, you know, yards per play, yards per game, they're number one. Their points are picking up, but they're only at 27 points a game where, you know, like the Ravens and 49ers are up, you know, 30 or above. It's just, it's baffling. They still are minus one in turnover differential. When you look at the top teams, those teams are more like, you know, Patriots, crazy, you know, plus 24. You know? Plus 11 for the Vikings, plus 10 for the Ravens. You know, they're minus one. That's, you can't turn the ball over and win in the NFL. We've seen that. I'm looking at you, Philip Rivers.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see what happens. I agree. With the way that they played on Sunday made me think that they could win the Super Bowl. I don't think they can do it because of Garrett, but they certainly are capable. I mean, you can see what they can do to teams. So it's just, can they do it every Sunday? We'll find out this week.
Yep.
So win or get in. So
yeah, another week where it seems like the whole world is going to be betting on the Cowboys this time. So.
Flip back.
Well, we can't move on to next week until we talk about the weekend that was the end of game lateral.
Oh, boy.
Three separate games decided by laterals. First, you had the miraculous Philadelphia Eagles cover after Dwayne Haskins inexplicably throws the ball to no one.
Yes.
In a lateral. And then in a game we had in the contest, mm-hmm. Chicago Bears, Allen Robinson is streaking down the sideline wide open for the lateral.
Yep.
You could probably tell me who the guy was that failed to pitch it, but
no, I can't. I know he's number 49, but good God, pitch the damn ball. You're not going to get in there. Pitch it.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
And then in the late session, we had another incredibly bad beat where the Niners and Falcons game was a dead under, and there were two touchdowns in the last 6 seconds to push it over, the second one being a lateral on the last play of the game. So just a wild weekend in the NFL.
Well, and not to mention it wasn't a lateral, but Seattle was up, what was it, 30 to 10 with like 4 minutes to go in the game. They gave up two touchdowns. And that was their only push on the weekend. But that was a clear cover all day, and then they just gave it up. I mean, it was really baffling when you look at it. But it's the NFL, man. Can't predict it. And, well, somebody can, but we couldn't. But luckily in the contest, we'll go into that now. You know, we went 0-4-1, everybody. I'm sorry we let down America, our loyal podcast listeners. We were going to do a big party and everything. And, you know, Duck Hodges is, I was burning his jersey after that game and his four interception game, but we've dropped to 227th in the fourth quarter, but you know, the leader's only, he's got two losses. I mean, we're a little bit behind because of the loss, so we're 9-5-1 now, but hey, stranger things have happened. We can keep plugging away, but pretty disappointing week. And the consensus went 1-3-1. So it wasn't like people lit it up. It was just a crazy week.
Yeah, certainly was. And I do think that if we're going to have any chance, we got to knock out 10-0 here the next 2 weeks. So let's get after it.
That's right. So a point of question before we get into these picks. know, traditionally we've got to get our picks in by whatever, 3 o'clock or something, or 4 o'clock Central time. Since these games are starting, there's three games on Saturday. Do you know if that changes, how that changes?
Ooh, that is a great question. I'm sure that they have a revised deadline for Saturday if you're right. including Saturday games.
Right.
But definitely something we'll need to log on to the website to investigate, because I think we may have some interest in one or two of these Saturday ones.
No, agreed, agreed. So the first one is the Texans are going to the Bucs. The Texans are 3-point favorites, you know, on the road there, and the total there is 50. Actually, this is one of the ones I'm interested in. I mean, at least the index is interested in it, and I am too. You know, stranger things have happened, and I kind of sent a text to you. Did you realize that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 7-7? This team has kind of won some games here, and they burned us early in the season. Jameson is pick six and everything, but despite him turning the ball over, he is lighting it up. Now they have the injuries at receiver. And the Texans, you know, they obviously showed out and played pretty well against the Titans, but I don't know. The Bucs at home, they're actually in the WEGS index. They're rated higher than the Texans slightly. It's wow. Weird. So I would be on the Bucs in this one, surprisingly.
Man, I was hoping you would say Tampa Bay, because I definitely lean to that side too, but it's just so tough. There's so many things that are kind of pointing as negatives for them. You start with Chris Godwin's injury. That is massive. Yep. I would love Tampa Bay if he was in the game.
Sure.
And on top of that, too, you've got a Tampa Bay team who's actually been pretty poor at home this season. I think they're 0-for against the spread in home games this year.
Interesting. Okay.
So, although when you look at the recent history, it looks like they're 3-4 against the spread in their last four games. Definitely a team I would have interest in, and definitely would like them at 3, but will probably be largely dependent on the contest line.
Yeah, they probably, knowing the contest, might do it, you know, 2.5 or something like they always do. Just for point of fact, the Bucs have won 4 straight, and 5 out of 6, you know, they lost to the Saints on the 17th of November, but really they're closing the season really strongly here. So they might even finish the season, even if they lose this week. They play Atlanta at home the week to end the season. They could be an 8-8 team, which I think early in the season, I never would have guessed that. So,
yeah. And if you also look at defensive metrics, a Tampa Bay D that's really good against the run, but not so good against the pass. So
right.
Definitely something that you need when you're going up against Deshaun Watson and company.
That's right. Well, Fuller's healthy, so, you know, we'll see. The next game is a huge marquee game. It's the Bills at the Patriots. The Patriots, this is one we kind of mentioned as a lean, and we didn't have the guts to take it in the contest, but the Patriots know how to beat bad teams, don't they? They lit them up, scored defensive touchdowns and everything. But the Bills, you know, they went to the Steelers. They shut down the Duck Dynasty over there. Looked really good. They were the better team all day. Loved the game plan McDermott had, both on offense and defense. So 6.5 seems like a really big number for the Patriots here, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely seems that way. I think that Buffalo certainly has an edge here with the way they played them in the last game in Buffalo. If you recall, that was also a 7-point spread, and the Bills ended up covering that game. So.
Yep.
And I do believe New England scored one of their touchdowns on a blocked punt. So
they did. Oh, yeah.
Definitely think that this Buffalo defense is going to have success against the Patriots offense. And it's just a matter of whether or not Josh Allen can move the ball on the Patriots.
Exactly. And that was something that last week, you know, the handicap, or at least when we discussed it, I don't know if it was on the podcast or not. I believe you called Josh Allen a debutante, can we trust him in the bright lights? And he's played really well under those situations. He played really well against the Cowboys, you know, on Thanksgiving, and he played great this past weekend. I mean, he didn't make mistakes. You know, he just played solid, and obviously they ran the ball quite a bit. But, you know, that Steeler defense is really good, and I'm not saying it's better than the Patriots, but one of the things the Patriots don't do well is stop the run. Joe Mixon had like 100 yards in the first half. He had 150 yards rushing or something against them. So true. Their pass defense is elite, but their run defense is not. So just something to consider. I definitely would be on the Bills side there.
Okay.
Next game, another interesting game, Rams at 49ers. 49ers are 6.5-point favorites at home. I haven't been giving out the totals. I didn't get the total for the Patriots game. The Patriots is 38. This one's 45 on BetOnline. So another interesting spot. The Rams obviously totally flatlined at Dallas. But one of the things that we did identify, even though we didn't take it, was that when Jared Goff is under pressure, he stinks. Yep. And that was true against Dallas. Do you think that's true against the 49ers?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. If you recall in the first meeting, that 49ers defensive line was in Jared Goff's face the entire game. Right. And they ended up getting smoked by 13 points was the final margin and a 3-point spread in L.A. So if you look at this game flipped to San Francisco, and now you've got the Niners laying 6.5 points in essentially a game that they have to have to keep pace with the Seattle Seahawks in the division. I think that I would love to back the 49ers here under a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, it's identified as an index pick again. So it's interesting. What do you think happened besides the flat spot last week? I think that, I don't know, it was weird because Atlanta, they had the game under control, and then Atlanta just came back and scored that late touchdown. And then, of course, like you mentioned, the lateral craziness. Mm-hmm. You think it was just a letdown there?
You know, I got to be honest, I wish that I had seen more of the game and wasn't able to catch much of it. So don't know if I could really answer that question, but definitely something we should look into.
Yeah, for sure. So there's three games right there that we're interested in, which is tough. So let's check those rules and figure it out. Might have to get Light Rain going a little earlier in Vegas for us.
Good point. See if Light Rain can get up early on Saturday.
That's right. Okay, let's switch to the Sunday games. We've got Jacksonville is going to the Falcons. The Falcons are 7-point favorites at home. They obviously acquitted themselves well last Sunday. It's 46.5 is the total. I'm seeing BetOnline actually 7.5, but the Falcons are a weird team too. And the, you know, the Jags, you know, that's another game. The Raiders were out of the gates quick, 16-3, and then they just, I heard they had a 19-2 first down advantage, but only got 16 points, and then they just let the Jags come all the way back and beat them. So I don't know what to say about either of these teams. I don't know if anybody's good. The Falcons had two good games in the middle of the season, and now they beat a really good team, you know, in San Francisco. So what do you think?
Yeah, I just want to pass.
Yeah.
I have no interest in really putting any money on either of these teams, to be quite honest with you.
Right, makes sense. That's smart. Make it simple. Next game, Ravens at the Browns. I have the game at 10. The Ravens, let's see what they got here. Yeah, it's 10 on BetOnline. Total of 48. This is an interesting spot. The Browns are technically not eliminated, but basically are eliminated from the playoffs. In my mind, the Ravens are going to come out and smash this team because this is one of the teams that actually beat the Ravens early in the year. 10 is a lot of points, but we've seen the Ravens cover very easily. Any interest in taking the Ravens and laying the points?
Yeah, I would definitely think that there's one way to bet this game, and that would be with Baltimore. I don't believe, even though when you look back, the one aberration the Ravens had this season was that game against the Browns where they got torched in their own building.
They did.
But I just don't see that happening again this time. I think that this Baltimore team is a runaway freight train, and Cleveland is just not playing good football right now. So I don't expect this one to be close. Although I think that we could probably find 5 better picks if you agree.
Right. That's true. Absolutely. The next game is intriguing. You know, the Saints played great last night, although the Colts looked terrible. The Saints are 2.5-point favorites at Tennessee. Tennessee finally let down and lost to Houston. We were very angry about that one because we felt like it was turned early. I should say the total is 50.5. When, you know, the Titans were going to go in for a score, and then there was this bobbled ball that went all the way back, and that kind of changed the momentum. And the Texans really I'm not saying they didn't look back. They tied, the game got tied at 14, but I don't know. Like, I still like the Titans. I think they're still good. A really good football team. And the Saints, as well as they played last night, I still question if this defense is as good as it was early in the season. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on this game?
I agree. I would lean to the Titans in this one. And before I also like the over. I think that last week we saw there were so many red zone turnovers in that Tennessee-Houston game. This Tennessee offense is still really good. And I would like to play this game over 51 if I can get it. But right now I'm not sure if that number is available. So,
right.
As far as the side goes, I do agree. I think that Tennessee would be the look here. Kind of a tough spot for the Saints. They're going outside of conference again. Although I do think that they're still playing for a bye, if I recall.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the NFC is still wide open. I mean, there's four teams at 11-3. So it really is going to shake out between the 49ers, Seattle, the Saints, even Green Bay's in the mix here. So, you know, they can still have home field advantage throughout, even though they lost to, you know, Seattle and San Francisco. But, you know, I guess they wouldn't beat that team out. But you never know. You never know what's going to happen. But
what does the index say about this one?
This is an index pick, Titans plus 2.5. I mean, it's okay. It's out of line. It for some reason, let's see what it should be. Hang on 1 second here. You've got, I mean, realistically, they're saying that at home they'd be like a 5.5-point favorite, right? And that's just not right in this area of the chart. It really should be closer to a pick 'em. I don't know, understand why 2.5. You know, on the road like that, that doesn't make sense to me. They're like 3 or 4 points better than the Titans, not 5.5, basically.
So. All right. Well, we could pencil it in as a like.
Yep. The next one is another, you know, yucky game. Panthers at Colts. The Colts are 6.5-point favorites at home. The Panthers look like crap until the last couple drives. The Colts looked like garbage last night. 6.5 seems like a big number, but I don't know if I could back the Colts ever with this big number.
You don't have interest in watching Will Greer suit up against Jacoby Brissett this weekend?
Oh, man, I love Will Greer, too. He's like the new clipboard Jesus, but he, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what to say. I mean, this total is 46. Yeah, I don't even know. I can't tell you what to say in this game. The Colts looked so bad last night, and the Panthers... Yeah, Will Greer, I didn't even know he was going to play. Well, good for him.
Yeah, I mean, on its surface, I think that laying any amount of points with the Colts right now is a bad idea. But on the flip side, I'm not sure that I want to be betting my money on Will Greer in his first NFL start.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, moving on. Another wonderful game. The Bengals at the Dolphins. I mean, the Bengals have won a game. The Dolphins have won 3, so they're way better, right? Technically in the index, the Bengals are still better. I don't know why that is. I don't think that's necessarily true. With Dalton back, they are playing capably, but not, you know, wonderfully. So the Dolphins are 1-point favorites at home. This total is 47. I mean, on the surface, I don't know why you wouldn't take the Dolphins here, but I got to stay away from this one too. It's just garbage teams.
Interesting line move in this one. Opened up at Dolphins -3. And despite 63% of the bets coming in on Miami, they're now down to a 1-point favorite and even a pick 'em at one of the sharpest books in the world. So weird. That would give me every indication that people who know what they're doing are betting on Cincinnati and would probably scare me off this one or likely end up putting a small play on Cincinnati. But in terms of our contest life, I agree. I'm not sure it's something we want to be involved in.
So why do you think that is? You think that because the Bengals are getting healthier, they're playing a little better, and they can win a game and still have the number one pick?
Yeah.
Is that the theory?
I think the latter is a big important factor here because it's clear Miami doesn't want to win games, and Cincinnati can afford to win one and not damage their chances in the draft. So definitely agree.
Interesting. Well, in my futures pick, I would love – I still have the Dolphins at, you know, 4.5 win total. They're at 3. I don't really want them to win, so maybe that's a way to go with the Bengals.
There you go.
The next game is Steelers at the Jets. The Steelers are 3-point favorites on the road. The Jets they're a confounding team. I mean, they got obviously housed by the Ravens on Thursday night. I don't know, man. I mean, I still like Duck. They put him in a bad position. We were texting a little bit. Mm-hmm. I really thought that Tomlin and the coaching staff was thoroughly outcoached by the Bills coaching staff in this one. They abandoned the run. They really didn't run the ball, you know, against this team. And the Jets defense isn't bad. So the total's 38. It's going to be another low-scoring game. 3 points may be too much, but it is an index pick to take the Steelers.
Interesting. I did see that Tomlin came out this morning and gave Duck a vote of confidence and announced that he will continue to be the starter this weekend. So definitely a good sign for the Steelers, but I just don't think that they should be laying 3 points on the road with this offense. Duck is certainly a good game manager, and it's clear that he showed us on Sunday night he can't win a game with his arm. And unfortunately, exactly. The Steelers tried to do that and kind of screwed us. But I got to be honest, I don't think I want to lay this number of points with the Steelers.
Right. I can see that. I mean, it's one of these things that now the Steelers, to be clear, I think it's if they win the game, they clinch a spot in the playoffs coming in. So because they're, you know, they've got, it's an interesting week how it's working out in the AFC. The Titans are kind of hot on their tail, but they got a tough schedule. You know, they play the Saints and then they're going to play Houston next week. Mm-hmm. So the Browns, they could make it if Steelers lose out, and it's just it's a weird, a lot of things have to happen for the Browns, but I don't know. I just feel like the Steelers have to win this game. So it's just a matter of if they're going to win it, maybe they'll win it by 1 point. It's fine to stay away from this one. And I've got your jersey. I'll take it out of the flames. It's a little ashy right now. We'll try to put it back together. The next one's another winner game. Giants are at the Redskins, and the Redskins are 2.5-point favorites at home. You know, another battle of – this is a draft pick game. 42 is the total. I would say, you know, on its surface, Washington's playing better. They've been playing better. They obviously screwed up the end of the game against the Eagles, but they were winning in that game in the fourth quarter late, and they've been in games. Now, the Giants did play well in the second half with, you know, Eli lighting up a little bit. But I would side to the Redskins in this game personally.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it sounds like all indications are pointing towards Daniel Jones coming back into the lineup this weekend.
Woo-hoo!
And I think that it gives a better edge to Washington in this one. And if you really kind of go back and evaluate these games, if you happen to be betting on Washington, I think you would probably put a little asterisk in the mm-hmm. entry for this one, because that really was a Washington cover. And although it didn't turn out that way, that would have been four straight covers for the Washington Redskins. So definitely a team that's trending in the positive direction in terms of against expectations. And mm-hmm. I agree. I think that Washington would be the pick here.
Okay. Good to know. We can consider it. They've been good to us in the past. The next game is an interesting game. Lions at Broncos. The Broncos are 6.5-point favorites at home. In this game, the total is 38.5. On the surface, the index says you got to take Detroit because, you know, these teams aren't that far away in the index, but the Lions look like they've given up. They got lit up last week, and obviously David Blau is not getting it done for them, and the Broncos D is pretty good. So this line seems accurate, I guess, is what I'm trying to say now. Mm. I don't know how you feel about backing the Broncos at home against the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, Denver has a really good defense, and mm-hmm. definitely always like to side on teams that have good defenses, but laying this number of points with that offense is a scary proposition for mm-hmm. me. And even though Drew Lock has been playing better, he definitely went out and laid an egg against a pretty porous defense in Kansas City last weekend. So mm-hmm. certainly a step in the wrong direction for Denver. And I don't know how you feel, but I certainly don't want to lay points with them.
Yeah, and that's too many points. Like I said, the index says that's way too many points, and I would agree. It's probably what will happen. They'll win by maybe a touchdown, but, man, I don't want to sweat that one out with Drew Lock or who knows,
yeah,
you know.
I concur.
The next one is another kind of craptastic bowl, the Raiders at the Chargers. The Chargers are 6 points favorites at quote-unquote home because we know that the Raiders fans will be there in droves as they leave California soon. What are we seeing at the total on this one? That's 45.5. Mm-hmm. The Chargers are perfectly capable of blowing out the Raiders. They have all the weapons. But, man, God, it was bad last week. I mean, Melvin Gordon putting the ball on the ground twice in, like, the first half. Phillip Rivers completely screwing up again. It's hard to watch that team sometimes, man. And I don't know if it's coaching or it's just leadership, but, I mean, the Raiders stink too. So it's not like it's – I mean, they sucked last week. They're usually good in the first half and suck in the second half. But any backing either way on this game?
No, this one lined up right next to the Jags and Falcons for me as two games that I think are going to be impossible to handicap this week.
Right.
You had the Raiders in the narrative game of the year last week, the last home game in Oakland, and they couldn't pull out even a victory against the Jaguars. So
no,
trying to figure out where their motivation is going to be this weekend is next to near impossible for me, and I have no interest in betting on the Chargers ever again.
Exactly. They can't. That was so disappointing. I was like watching. I turned it off. Whenever the Vikings scored that, you know, the defensive score or whatever. No, that was the first half. It was the second half. They scored again. I'm like, oh boy, that's it.
I didn't want to tell you, and I'm sure our listeners do not care, but the only saving grace was I had the Vikings defense and they carried me to the fantasy championship. So.
Oh, congratulations. It was in the write-up today.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. Well, the next game, let's move on to a more of a marquee game. Cowboys at Eagles. The Cowboys are 3-point favorites on the road at the Eagles. This game, I don't know why they didn't flex it up to the Sunday night game, but whatever. The total is 46.5. As we discussed, the Cowboys look like gangbusters, and they beat the Eagles soundly last time. But will that happen this time in Philly?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think this is a very sweet contrarian spot to bet on Philadelphia, especially if you're getting 3 points, which it looks like the line has touched three pretty much across the board here. And I am fully expecting to get some positive Philadelphia injury news later this week. I'm expecting that at least one of those wide receivers are going to be back. And I think I know that before last weekend, the look ahead on this game would have been a pick 'em. So just because the Cowboys went out and ran roughshod over the Rams, I'm not sure that they're now 3 points, no, 6 points better than the Eagles laying three on the road. Just seems like a total aberration.
Right.
What do you think?
Well, do you have enough stones to back the Eagles then?
I may. I may. I mean, I'm not so positive that I want to put it as one of our five best picks, but I'm definitely going to be betting on the Eagles this weekend, without a doubt.
Yeah, and it's funny because most of my company loves the Eagles. They're huge Eagles fans.
Sure.
I think this Eagles team is trash. I don't know if I've even seen them play well this year. I'm trying to recall a game where they just annihilated an opponent or even played at a very high level. They kind of played decent against the Bears, but almost gave up that game. They played decent against the Patriots, but it was close. And there's been other games they've looked like garbage. I mean, they really should have lost last week. So I don't know if I can back into the contest. I think that I understand what you mean. I think it from a handicapper standpoint, it makes sense. The Cowboys aren't 6 points better than the Eagles here. But, man, I mean, what tells me that the Eagles are going to even win this game? You know what I mean? I mean, I know it's 3 points. They can lose by three. But, man, they look really bad sometimes. It's hard to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I will say the two probably only good wins this season are that Monday Nighter at Green Bay in mm-hmm. week four. And then they handed Buffalo a pretty big loss as well in Buffalo.
That's true. They did play good against Buffalo for some reason.
But I'm right there with you. I think we can probably slide it to the pass column. I'm sure we can find five other picks that are better.
Right. Next one, Cardinals at Seattle. Seattle's 9.5-point favorites at home. The total's 50. You know, last time Seattle could not cover in Arizona, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I mean, this has got to be a smash spot for Seattle. They got to get the number one seed, right? They got to win this game and set up the big showdown against San Francisco. But this defense can't seem to sustain an entire game of effort. And Kyler Murray, you know, they lost all those games, and then they obviously they beat the Browns last week. He was very mobile and active. He may be able to make some plays against this defense. So 9.5 seems like a lot of points. I just don't know if I'm good with backing the Cardinals in the contest.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, Seattle did beat them by 17 in the first meeting.
My mistake.
On a cover. But I don't totally agree. I think that even though Seattle definitely needs this win, it's a whole nother proposition to win by 10 points or more, especially in the NFL. So I think I would have to lean to the Cardinals in this one and probably a better off as a pass.
Yeah, agreed. The next one's interesting. Chiefs at the Bears. The Chiefs are 5-point favorites on the road. The total is 45. I'd be all over the Chiefs here, buddy. Mm-hmm. It's not an index pick at all. But at the same time, I think the Chiefs are actually doing what they didn't do last. Well, they did. I guess they peaked at the right time last year. But they're coming along. And you know, your comment about the Chiefs and their defense, you'd actually be a little surprised. Their defense is getting way better. They're only giving up, you know, 20.3 points a game, 356.7 yards per game, which puts them upper half, you know. And with that offense, that means they're going to win games. And their offense obviously hasn't been lighting it up like last year, but what they've been doing lately is kind of getting the lead early and just, you know, closing it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and certainly having Mahomes on your team and that offense goes a long way. I was so perturbed watching that Bears game last week where Trubisky just couldn't get anything going, and I definitely have no interest in backing the Bears anymore. And I do like betting on a good team. They've now covered 4 straight games, the Chiefs, and it seems like they're hitting their stride indeed.
They are. So you put that as a maybe. Mm-hmm. The last one is Packers at the Vikings. The Vikings are 4.5-point favorites at home. The total is 45.5. And index says this line is too light. The Vikings are a way better team than the Packers. And even though the Packers did beat the Bears barely, you know, who knows? The Vikings in prime time, we know that what's going on. And they can blow it, but Cousins has played well in the big games this year, and even though the defense, their passing defense isn't that great, you know, that apparently they're making some turnovers happen, you know?
Right, yeah, and definitely a huge, huge game for the Vikings this weekend. I think they still have a chance to win the division, right?
Yeah, they do.
Take a Lions victory over the Packers in Week 17, but I'm totally with you. I've been fading the Packers all season long. I think that they are not a good football team, and they're winning through smoke and mirrors. I would be all over Minnesota here as well.
Good. All right. We agree. Let's put that one as a definite possibility. Right. I mean, again, it's both an index pick, and I just think that at some point this Packers team, even though they've won 11 games, it's going to come back to haunt them, whether it's the playoffs or even losing this division, because they're really not as good as the Vikings, you know?
Right. I agree totally. And I can't wait to see the Vikings go on the road in the divisional playoffs and hopefully be an underdog, and I'll be backing them again, without a doubt.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Well, just to review the index picks, and a lot of them I do endorse, not all of them, but Tampa getting 3 points at home against Houston, Pittsburgh laying the 3 points against the Jets. That's a little tricky. Detroit getting 6.5 points at Denver. That's a little tricky too. Minnesota, the 4.5 points, laying 4.5 at home. San Francisco laying 6.5 at home. And then Tennessee getting 2.5 at home. So we'll see how those turn out. But it looks like we have a little bit more options than last week in terms of games we like.
Yeah, 7 highlights here. 3 of them are painted in green, so I think that we'll have plenty to choose from come Saturday morning.
That's right. So we'll double check the contest rules to see, you know, what happens with those Saturday games, and let's get back on the horse. Let's give it a good push and see what happens, and see if these other guys at the top start crumbling past us, and we can shoot past them at the end to win some cash. But
yeah, that certainly would be fun. It does look like, yeah, there's quite a few teams with 2 losses and then a few more that are at 12.5. So
exactly.
We got some catching up to do.
Nice. So obviously for the schedule, we won't be taping, obviously, on Christmas. We'll figure out if we're going to tape next week or not. I want to talk off air, I guess, about that. I'm around, so I can do, Thursday, Friday. And then we kind of will slowly transition to a new timing of doing scheduling. So with the NFL kind of just being a few more weeks, I mean, it goes through February, but it's just a few games. And we probably put more of an onus on college basketball and touch on the big bowl games when they come up too.
Yeah, definitely. Can't wait for next few weeks. It's definitely a good time of year to be interested in sports gambling. There's so much going on. You've got the NBA Christmas Day games as well, which I always look forward to. So great time to be watching sports.
That's right. That's right. Happy holidays, everybody. And thank you for listening. And hopefully we will get you some better picks this week than last week. And, we'll touch back after the holiday. So follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. Follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
All right. Until next time.
Peace out, everybody. That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.